And welcome to the End Time Shofar channel. I'm Gerald. We'll be discussing today Bible prophecy in regards to the Jews building the third temple. Now, on yesterday, I found this article online, very fascinating, that the title of the article is Temple Service Can Be 1 Week Away as Sanhedrin Appoints a High Priest. Now, we're looking at a high priest being appointed by the Sanhedrin, which the Sanhedrin court was reestablished in 2005 after being non-existent for 1600 years. So we see that the Sanhedrin goes all the way back to biblical times. Even the Sanhedrin were the ones that tried Jesus. It was a number of 71 sages within the religious community of Israel that set on this judicial board. So this is a significance because this actual temple and this actual high priest may come about where the son of perdition, the Antichrist, will fulfill scriptures by going into the third temple and defiling it, which Daniel calls the abomination desolation, where the son of perdition, the Antichrist, will proclaim himself as God, and all these religious Jews will know that this person that they had trust and faith in is a fraud, and he is the satanic Messiah who's come to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, we move on in regards to this actual article talking about the appointing of this high priest. It reads, Rabbi Baruch Kahan, shown here offering Omar Barley sacrifices to God in the heart of the old city of Jerusalem, has been appointed the high priest by the nascent Sanhedrin. It says a significant step was taken towards reinstating the temple service when the nascent Sanhedrin selected Rabbi Baruch Kahan as the Kohen Gadol, which is the high priest. The selection was made as a precaution for Yom Kippur, and the political conditions should change, allowing Jews access to the Temple Mount. They'd be required by Torah law to bring sacrifices. Rabbi Kahin is confident that it should happen, and temple service could begin in less than 1 week. So it goes on talking about how the temple, trying to reestablish the temple, they've appointed a high priest just about a year or two ago. They found an actual red heifer. Red heifer is actually needed in order to offer up sacrifices for the Day of Atonement or Yom Kippur. So people, we're seeing how scriptures are quickly being fulfilled daily, and we're so captivated by sports and entertainment and things that are going into the world, and we're missing vital points of actually seeing the scriptures being fulfilled, seeing that God's word is actually true. So we move on. Found this article. This article was done 11 years ago by Hal Lindsey, Bible teacher, and it's about 11 years ago that the Sanhedrin was actually reestablished. So we see piece by piece, year by year, scriptures are coming together and the Bible is true enough being fulfilled. And he writes in the article, he says, two remarkable developments look to take place recently that are extremely relevant to students of Bible prophecies. He says, for the first time in 1600 years, the Israeli Sanhedrin was reestablished, and it occurred in Tiberias, the site of the Sanhedrin's last meeting in AD 425. Lindsey goes on and he talks about, he says, the unique ceremony, probably is one of the second of his 1600 years, is taking place in Tiberias today, the launching of the Sanhedrin, the highest Jewish legal tribunal in the land of Israel. The Sanhedrin is a religious assembly that convened in one of the Holy Temple chambers in Jerusalem before AD 70, comprised of 71 sages, existed during the Tom, Nick, period, from several decades before the Common Era, roughly 425 CE. Details of today's ceremony are still sketchy, but the organizers announced that their intention to convene 71 rabbis who have received special rabbinic ordination as specified by Maimonides. The religious authorities believe it was necessary to reestablish the Sanhedrin because only properly ordained body of sages can authenticate a Messiah when he comes. There's a growing expectation of a long-awaited Messiah to appear among devout Jews. The rebirth of the Jewish state and the recapture of Jerusalem has increasingly influenced this conviction. On February 9th, just a day or a few weeks after the Sanhedrin reestablishment, another enormously important development took place. The religious sages began to consider the rebuilding of the temple, a reinstitution of ancient animal sacrifices as prescribed in the law of Moses. The first step toward facilitating this monumental endeavor was to seek to determine the exact location of the temple's foundation. The Sanhedrin spokesman, Rabbi Chaim Richman, told Arch 7, "It's appropriate that the Sanhedrin convene to discuss this lofty matter of the temple location this week. The Sanhedrin continues to move toward strengthening the nation of Israel. As all these things happen all around us, the Sanhedrin is researching ways to renew the deepest roots of our faith, to the renewed temple service, and reunite Jewish legal tradition and inspire the Jewish people to aspire to greatness. Our people have one path before us, and we will continue to march toward destiny." The Sanhedrin member, Rabbi Yisrael Ariel, is the most ardent believer that the temple is rebuilt in this generation. He is a former yeshiva head founder of the Temple Institute and one of the paratroopers who took part in the 1967 liberation of the Temple Mount. And he said, "People today ask, who are we in this generation to even consider building the temple? But this week's Torah portion, we see that the commandment to build a temple was given to the Jews who had just sinned and committed idolatry, and the sin of the golden calf. The fact that what God requires in this world is for regular people to do their best. That is what we are trying to do. The most difficult problem is to determine with certainty exactly where the previous temple's foundation are. Muslims have not allowed the Israeli archaeologists to do archaeological research on the temple grounds. As a matter of fact, the Muslims custodians of this area, which they believe is their third holiest site, have systematically sought to destroy and remove any archaeological evidence of Israel even having a temple there. The Sanhedrin determined that there is only two viable theories as to where the temple stood. One teaches that the temple stood in the same basic site on which the Muslim mosque known as the Dome of the Rock was built. The second theory, which I convince is the most accurate, is that the temple was built north of the Dome of the Rock. Dr. Asher Kaufman developed this theory using certain archaeological evidence that he found before the Muslims destroyed them. However, the most important archaeological sign is positioned on the eastern gate. According to the accounts of the temple, its east and west center line pass through the center of the eastern gates. We have absolute evidence as to where the ancient eastern gate stood. I have viewed personally that the remains of the ancient gate, which is located under the modern gate that was built on the top ruins, while photographing the area in 1983 for my book, Prophetical Walk Through the Holy Land, I sought and to verify Dr. Kaufman's theory and establish the east and west center line from the eastern gate. Then I received one of the most supernatural visitations of my life. My mind was suddenly flooded with a couple of verses that we have been a mystery to me. And he goes on, he says, this is what I was shown. I was given a reed, like a measuring rod, and was told, go and measure the temple of God and the altar and count the worshipers there, but exclude the outer court. Do not measure it, because it has been given to the Gentiles. They will trample on the holy city for 42 months. It's Revelations chapter 11, verses 1 through 2. And I measure off the distance from the center line and the point where the wall of the inner court would stand. And there was at least 6 meters clearance from the nearest points of the Dome of the Rock and the temple, the inner court wall. The Apostle John clearly predicts that the outer court was not to be included in the rebuilt temple because it was given to the Gentiles. So what does this mean? The temple can be rebuilt and stand alongside the Dome of the Rock and without disturbing it. And since the outer court, also known as the court of the Gentiles, is given to the Gentiles in this period just before the Messiah comes, it infers that there will be a Gentile building there, example, Dome of the Rock. And he says the fact that the reestablished Sanhedrin is now considering rebuilding the temple after 2,000 years, it's extremely important to students of Bible prophecy. So we have to be astute students in Bible prophecy. We see that prophecy is actually being fulfilled in our very eyes. Now we know that Rabbi Kahin has been appointed the high priest now by the Sanhedrin to oversee this third temple. And this gives you, how is a high priest actually selected? And then we look and see from the scriptures, it says, the high priest's most significant task was entering the Holy of Holies, the chamber on Yom Kippur, to attain atonement for all of Israel, which Jesus ultimately did at the cross once and for all. He offered up, he is our high priest, he offered up himself as a sacrifice which atone, which satisfies the sins for all mankind. For any who come to him and receive him shall have eternal life through Jesus our Yeshua HaMashiach. It says, from the clear that the high priest wasn't merely a technical position, but one of great holiness. The first criterion any high priest must meet is that he must be of a priestly descent, direct descent, followed the male line of Aaron, the brother of Moses. It says, as long as the sitting high priest meets the key requirements, he is officially valid in service and he renders is 100% kosher, regardless of whether he possesses any other qualities. Nevertheless, when he is appointing a high priest, the most qualified individual for this holiest position was sought. So this is how they came about appointing Rabbi Kahin as Kahan as the actual high priest. This was the selection process that the Sanhedrin looked at. But when we go to scriptures, we can go to scriptures and we can look at Revelations chapter 1 verses 2, and it talks about this third temple. And we're seeing again scriptures line up on line, precept on precept. When we look at scriptures, how it's actually lining up, it says, when I was given a measuring rod like a staff, I was told, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship there, but do not measure the count or court outside the temple. Leave that out, for it is given over the nations that they will trample the holy city for 42 months. Now we move on to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. It talks about the abomination desolation. It says, and he shall make a strong covenant, that's the Antichrist, with many for 1 week. This is when the Antichrist comes in and makes a treaty or covenant with the nation of Israel to, I will protect you. I'm the Messiah of the world, and I love you guys. And he would do it when it says 1 week, it would be for 7 years. And for the half of the week or the middle of the week, he shall put an end of sacrifices and offerings. So why the Sanhedrin reincorporates sacrifices and presenting a high priest or having a high priest in position, the Antichrist will cease the sacrifices and offerings. This will definitely, there's no doubt that this will take place. And on the wing of the abomination shall he come, one who makes desolate until the decree end and is poured out of the desolator. So we move on. Daniel chapter 11, verse 31 says, and the forces from him shall appear and profane the temple and the fortress, and shall take away the regular burnt offerings, and it shall set up the abomination that makes desolate. So again, this scripture is twofold. Initially, when Daniel wrote this, it was fulfilled first and foremost when Antiochus Epiphanes came in and defiled the temple. He was a ruler. His name actually meant God manifested, and he erected the idol of Zeus within the holy temple and offered up a pig as a sacrifice. And that's where we get Hanukkah. The Maccabees end up rebelling against him, and that's how, again, Hanukkah comes place. And that's a story within itself that we don't have time to dive into. So we move on. When Jesus is at the his Olivet Discourse, he talks about the abomination of desolation that Daniel also talks about in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. He says, so when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, he says, let the reader understand. So you're seeing scriptures being fulfilled. Ultimately, when this son of perdition comes in, the Antichrist comes in, does the abomination desolation. We can see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, it says, let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first. The man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Now, folks, I know they appointed the Sanhedrin, they appointed Rabbi Kahan as their high priest, but Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is the ultimate high priest. When we look at scriptures, after all this is said and done, where the Antichrist comes and defiles his third temple, Jesus will come back. He will establish a fourth temple, and he will sit as the Messiah, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He will be king over the whole entire world, and he will actually be high priest. When we look at Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, as we conclude, it says, for every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. It says, he can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when God, or when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he says also in another place, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So Jesus is our actual high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He is our high priest forever. He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. So we must continue to search the scriptures. We must also continue to make sure that we check our hearts daily to make sure we're right in the eyesight of the Lord. And if you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to receive Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, as your Lord and Savior as soon as possible. Other than that, outside of that, you're looking at eternal damnation and eternal destruction upon your life. So the Bible is true. Scriptures are being fulfilled. This is real, folks. Seeing that the Sanhedrin has appointed a high priest, they're motivated and getting this third temple, and we're definitely living in the end times, and we're definitely living in the last of the last days. God bless. This is the End Time Shofar Channel.